Thank you, Ryan, for sharing that with us. And we're thankful for God's scripture. We continue in a series called How Sweet the Sound this week, where we are looking at a few hymns that specifically we can pull truth that is shared within them. And so I've been thinking about it, and as we shared last week, hymns have this very cherished and valuable spot in our lives because they have played a valuable role throughout church history. As selected songs were used in various generations to help convey truths, and they were sung during times of praise as well as times of stress alike. They conveyed a lot of different things that were able to be taken home as they had catchy tunes and different things within that. And so today I want to look at a hymn that was written by Joseph Scriven. He was born in Dublin, Ireland around 1820, and eventually fell madly in love with his childhood sweetheart. The day before they were to be married, they both got on horseback and were riding to meet one another when she tragically fell because her horse bucked. As a result, she hit her head on a rock and rolled into the stream that was right there and drowned just before Joseph arrived. And so here he arrives and he finds his fiancée dead in the middle of a river and emotionally shattered at this point of age of 25. All he had was Christ. And that was more than enough for him, but yet it says that he noted that everywhere he went in Dublin, he saw his fiancée and had memories of things. So he shattered and he leaves to Canada. In Canada, he goes to what anchors him during his life, and that is his faith. And through prayer, Bible study, he finds a mission for himself. He sells everything, takes a vow of poverty, and becomes a craftsman in the Ontario. And as the story goes, he would only work for those who could not afford him. That people would want to hire him, and he's, no, you can take care of that yourself, and would only work for those that didn't have the money or physical ability to do the work. Last week we shared about the author of Amazing Grace, who was known early in his life as the great blasphemer. Well, Joseph's nickname was the great Good Samaritan because he was always helping people who were in need. Well, eventually in Canada, he met a young lady by the name of Eliza Rausch. And they became interested in one another and eventually fell in love, got engaged. But weeks before they were to be married, at the ripe old age of 23, she came down with pneumonia and passed away. As you can imagine, Joseph was rocked once again. Well, time goes on, and in 1855, Joseph gets word that his mother is dying in Ireland. And he obviously doesn't have the money to go back to see her because he's, you know, taken a vow of poverty. And so he writes this poem and he sends it to her. Doesn't tell anybody that he did it, doesn't share it with anybody, but this poem, for some reason, becomes well known. He never takes credit for it, and yet, by accident, many years later, a friend was in his house and sees the original notes for this poem. And he asks Joseph, "Did you write the words to this?" And he says, "Well, to be honest, the Lord and I did." And the poem later becomes what was, you know, originally is for his dying mom. His words of solace and consolement later becomes this hymn that we sing and that we sang this morning, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And taking into the context of what Joseph has gone through and knowing the story that he endured in his life, you feel the power of the lyrics and what he truly believed as he answers and asks the question, can we find a friend so faithful who all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. As I was thinking on that, and I've really been encountering this passage this week in Philippians chapter 4. And Paul writes in Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. My hope this morning is that we would develop a true and sincere love for the presence of God that truly can be encountered in prayer. And what I want us to understand is that there's nothing too big, nothing too small to bring to the Lord in prayer. The reason I hope this is because I'm afraid that I've encountered far too many Christians and people in our world that really don't understand prayer. I mean, we have this misconception in our culture and in our world that prayer is what I see often on social media as good vibes. Or I see an understanding of people that really, you know, they think that prayer really doesn't work, or that even worse for the believer, we find that some kind of feel like it's this chore they have to do. And that's why I want to talk specifically about prayer, because we have very real misconceptions about what prayer is and what it accomplishes. There are at least three misconceptions of prayer that I find in our world. First, that many think it's too complicated. We've unfortunately gotten into this legalistic concept, and we think that prayer has to be this particular formula where you have to start at a certain time, you have to pray for a certain length of time, you have to be in a certain location, and you can only talk about certain things using certain terms and phrases in order to make it a valid prayer. And if you just starting, or if you don't feel like you're being heard, at some point it doesn't take long before we start to wonder if we're doing it right. And so we start listening to others pray, and then we start playing in this comparison game. And because we approach it as complicated, we never feel that we get it right. We as a people have become so distracted and have been trained by what entertains us that then we start to think that prayer is boring. But prayer is only boring if you make it boring. It's boring if you treat it like it's a task to be done, something to be marked off on a list of to-dos. The truth is that prayer, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is exciting because you never know of the new things that God will reveal in your prayer life. And that God is so creative in what he instructs us and gives us and encourages us and puts in our heart to pray for, that you never know what the answers are going to be, because they usually aren't the way you expect. But they're always best answered in the way possible. And then there's this misconception that prayer just doesn't work. We have this thought, or I encounter people that say, well, if it worked, why didn't God heal my grandma? If it worked, why is my marriage still struggling? If it worked, why am I still in this dead-end job? And so as a result of all these misconceptions, we cry out to God, really just asking the question, where are you, God? Did I do something wrong? Do you really not care about what's going on? Are you not listening? Or are you just going to do whatever you want and prayer's really a waste of my time? So many people have a misunderstanding and a misconception of what prayer is and what it does. And really, to begin this morning, we need to understand and fully embrace this truth, that we're not praying to a distant, uninvolved, and hard-to-please God. But we're actually praying and in conversation with a loving, caring, and personal God that calls us friend. We worship an all-powerful, all-knowing, relational God who loves us and gives us access to Himself before the very throne of grace that we can find in a time of need. And as the song goes, as Joseph wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus. And what a privilege we have to carry everything to Him in prayer. James 5, that Ryan read for us this morning, instructs us to pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What does prayer do? If you've ever asked that question, understand that your prayers can defeat the devil. Your prayers can calm a storm. Your prayers can heal the sick. Your prayers can save a marriage. Your prayers can comfort the hurting. Your prayers can restore the broken. Your prayers can push back the darkness. Your prayers can invoke the very power of God to be active in our life. We're not praying to a distant, uninvolved, uncaring God. We're praying to a close, intimate, all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God who cares for His children and calls us friend. The importance, value, and prayer, power of prayer can't be underestimated or stated. So this morning, I really want to just help give us some four very practical things of how we pray to God. The first practical thing I'd like to share about prayer is that we just simply talk to God as if we were talking to a friend. In Philippians 4, Paul is writing from Rome. He's a prisoner. He's chained 24 hours a day to a Roman guard and is awaiting a trial and possible execution. And he writes these words. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Because the reality is, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. How do you pray to God? Well, you start by talking to Him. You share your needs and your hopes and your concerns. So we start talking to God, but we don't just do it and leave it there. Paul instructs us in 1 Thessalonians that we should pray without ceasing. That this can be an intimidating instruction. We think of the length and time. We wonder, how do we do that? How do we pray without ceasing? But the key to this is understanding prayer in some ways is a nonstop awareness of God's presence, that He's always with us. It's an ongoing relationship with God that never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And it was a big breakthrough in my life when I realized that talking to God is to understand that it's possible, not just in long lengths that we think of with the prayer warriors, but it's also understandable because it's in a relationship that it can be done in very short, consistent prayer throughout the day. And that's okay. I mean, think about it. You're in a relationship and you're texting with that person, not in these long, lengthy paragraphs, but in short bursts that are back and forth. And we can start our day with these simple prayers of God. Thank you for this day. Direct my steps today, God. Give me wisdom that will make a difference in my world. And then as we go in the day, we encounter someone at work that's hurting, and we can say the simple prayer, and yet it's not quite so simple, but God, give me wisdom to say what is needed for this person. As we continue to talk to God, we pray, God, help me with what's going on in my life. Or God, help me love this person today that really right now I don't like so much. God, help me forgive this person. And this is all okay because prayer is an ongoing awareness of the presence of God. But not only that, secondly, there are times when you don't just talk to God, but we understand that we can vent to God. What I mean by that is 1 Peter 5:7 gives us the instruction to cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. It's okay to God say, God, this makes me, I don't understand. It makes me anxious. It makes me frustrated. It makes me happy. It makes me sad. It makes me all these different emotions. Because I just don't always understand what's going on. And it's important to understand that God cares for you enough to let you vent. That God has this relationship with you, just like when a child comes up to their parent and expresses hurt and disappointment or even anger, and the parent doesn't just push the child away. The parent will often listen and draw the child in because you care for that child and you understand, but you also want to help them understand the other things that are going on. It's okay to open up to God. He understands and is big enough to handle it. So sometimes you just talk to God. Sometimes you talk to God. But thirdly, you always take time to listen to God. Prayer is two-way communication. And so this is the point where we stop talking and you start listening. Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice." Remember, Jesus is the shepherd. We are the sheep. It's His job to guide us, to our job to follow. He directs, we listen. Prayer was never meant to be just asking or telling God what we want Him to do. He is not the celestial Santa Claus. This is powerful instruction, though, that we find also in the Old Testament when it would do well for us to take what Samuel was told. He was taught to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God speaks in so many different ways. His methods of communication are unlimited. But if you want a guaranteed way to hear from God, open your Bible daily. Spend time in it. And I promise God will speak, God will direct, and God will comfort because His Word is living, it's active, it's powerful, and it speaks into your life if you truly listen. But God will also speak through circumstances. We often want to say it or describe it like, well, the door was open or the door was closed. God will speak through people. That maybe someone gives you a word of wisdom. I get encouraging texts every once in a while of scripture or encouragement, and it gives me the ability to understand that God is continuing to move. God can also speak to you through a song that He gives you in the midst of whatever's going on. Maybe it's a praiseworthy, maybe it's a song of casting our cares on Him. To remind of the truth, but also God can speak to you through His still, quiet voice of His Spirit that's not necessarily audible, but sometimes it's more loud or louder than those that are in the room with us. So sometimes we just talk, sometimes we vent, but we all should take time to listen and always take time to give thanks to God. No matter what, you thank Him for who He is. You thank Him for His faithfulness, for His character, for His goodness. Paul instructs us, do not worry about anything, pray about everything. And the peace of God, which exceeds anything that we can understand, will guard our hearts. Because one of the things that I've realized is that prayer may or may not change the circumstances that I'm facing. but it always changes me. You see, true peace that Paul is talking about isn't the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. And as we close this morning, I want you to feel the weight of Joseph's words to his dying mother. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let us not be found lacking because we didn't take the step to pray today. Many are holding on to a lot of anxious moments in our world today. Many are concerned about sickness and finances and emotional states, and we're all bearing this anxiety and we're all carrying it on our shoulders, and we're forgetting that God is more than capable in this moment to take what we bring Him. And so we praise Him for who He is. We talk to Him because He's always available. Sometimes we can vent to Him because we have that frustration and God's big enough to handle it. We listen for response and guidance, and then we thank Him for who He is once again. Heavenly Father, God, we come to You. And God, we don't understand all the things. But the one thing I do know is that You are more than enough. You are more than worthy to be praised. You are more than worthy for us to bring our burdens, our anxieties to You. You are more than enough. And God, I don't understand all that's going on. I don't understand why there's sickness that does these things, but I do know that You are a loving God. That You care, that You do not leave us, that You haven't forsaken Your creation, but that You have provided a way of salvation. And for that, I'm thankful, Lord. I'm sorry for the sin that is in this world, for the disobedience where we try to put ourselves in Your place, a place that You are the only rightful person to hold. And so, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I confess my sins to You, Lord. I release all the different burdens and anxieties that I carry to You. And I give You thanks in advance as You answer them, as You protect us, as You heal us, and as You continue to save us, Lord. For all these things, we give You praise. In Your name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed week. Again, we are thankful for those that continue to give. We ask you to check on one another. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call the church office or any of the pastors, and we'll be glad to work with you in whatever's needed. God bless. Have a great week.